Today we're going to be starting into a brand new series, and we're going to call this series Connections. Connections, not connections, connections. We're going to be talking about connections in the house of God. And I'm going to just make sure that we've got our video going, because I know that we've got some people that are going to be making sure that they're watching online. Of course, the video pusher disappeared before they pushed the button, but that's okay. I'll handle it. We've got it going on. I'm so glad that you're here today, because God's got a message for you. Before I get into this message, whoever is here today that you need to hear this word, listen very carefully. This is a word for you. If you are about to give up on yourself, I want to tell you this. Don't give up on yourself, because God hasn't given up on you. Why would you give up on yourself if God hasn't given up on you? God's on your side. The Bible says if God is for us, then who can be against us? If you've been right at that point where you feel like you've been about to break, remember that when you're weak, God is strong. God is on your side. If He's for you, see, part of the problem is that we, like Pastor was saying earlier in worship time, sometimes we try to do things all by ourselves. And then we don't have what it takes to be able to get the job done. And we think that it's never going to happen. But really what it is that God's allowing us to get to the end of ourselves so that we can get to where God begins. And it's important that we get to that point sometimes where we realize that we cannot survive the lion's den. Where we, when we find out that we cannot survive the Egyptian army, where we cannot survive all the things that are coming against us except God. And we've got to get to that place where we're surrendered to God, to let Him do whatever it is that He wants to do in our life, and let Him literally have control of our life. That's what the Lordship of Jesus Christ is all about. So many of us are good at allowing Jesus to be our Savior, but we're not so great at allowing Jesus to be Lord. What that means is that He's the boss. He's in control. He's the one that literally leads, guides, and directs. And I know that in so many ways, it sounds better to us, more palatable, to say that God leads me. But what if we were to say that God commands you to go in different places? Then all of a sudden, we don't like that so much, because we don't like to be commanded, because God's not supposed to be lording it over us, except that He is. Because He's the King of Kings and He's the Lord of Lords. And I want to tell you that if you would just allow yourself, the Bible says the steps of a righteous man or a righteous woman are commanded. They are ordered of the Lord. And if you will allow Him to command, order, and direct your steps, not just give you suggestions, but actually command your steps, you'll end up right where God wants you to be. He knows the plans that He has for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, and to give you an expected end. But that takes we can't have that and have our own way at the same time. It's got to be His way all the time. Can you say amen to that? Whoever you are in here, or whoever you are, maybe you're watching online or something like that, if you are about to quit, please don't quit. Just keep on going. Just do one more. Just go one more step. God's with you. He hasn't given up on you. Don't give up on yourself. Well, I want to jump into this series that we're going to be talking about. This series called Connections. Today, if you'd like a title for your message, we're talking about roots of relationship. Roots of relationship. Now, I'm going to kind of tip my hand to you so that you know what it is, and my whole goal. I'm not trying to be shifty on you. I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm after. What I am after in this whole series throughout this month is I am after getting you to understand and to have faith for the fact that you need to be connected. Yeah. Amen. I'm preaching not because just because we're coming up to a point where we're having connect groups and you need to be a part of a connect group. I'm going to say that again. You need to be a part of a connect group. Amen. Now, when they teach you to do public speaking, they tell you you shouldn't use words like need, or have to, or must, except that you need to. Amen. So whatever word you want to substitute in there that means need to, go for it. Whatever's more palatable to you, I'm just telling you, you need to be in a connect group. It is your livelihood, it is your life at stake, hanging in the balance to be a part of the life group. Now, Pastor Jake, you're just over dramatizing it. I mean, you're going a little bit too far in saying that you need it. No, I'm telling you, you need to be a part of a Connects group. That's coming up in January, and it is absolutely a matter of survival and growth to you. I know that you don't believe me, but you're gonna believe me once you get a part of a Connects group. I wanna talk to you today. I'm gonna give you a bunch of scripture right up front, and then I'm gonna talk quite a bit about those scriptures. Normally, I kind of pepper in scriptures all through, or I just use scripture, but I'm gonna give you a bunch of scriptures up front to give you a foundation for what we're gonna be talking about. Amen. Did you know that roots are biblical?
Yeah.
We need to have roots. We need to have roots. I wanna point you to Psalm chapter 80, verse 8 and 9. I'm gonna read this out of the New King James Version of the Bible. It's right up here on the screens for you. It says this: "You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it. You prepared room for it," talking about this vine, "and caused it," listen, "to take deep root, and it filled the land." God caused it to take deep root and to fill the land. You know, one of the things about my heart, about this church and about this community, is that I believe that God is wanting us to fill this land.
Yep.
I believe that God's desire in the Great Commission is to preach the gospel to every creature. That means if there's someone in our community that has not heard the good news of Jesus Christ, then it is not only our responsibility, but it is our honor and our privilege to be able to share that and to fill the land with the goodness of God. I just happen to be so simple-minded to believe that if everybody lived God's way, this world would be a better place. I mean, that might be really simple for everyone, but I just happen to believe that if we followed God's way, it would be the better way. I believe that heaven is a wonderful place, and that's because everything in heaven is done God's way. I believe that we're meant to fill the land. Isaiah chapter 37, verse 31 says this: "And the remnant who have escaped of the house of Judah shall again," listen, "take root downward and bear fruit upward." If you want to have fruit in your life, you've got to have a root. Without a root, there is no fruit. That's just the way that it goes. It's nature. Nature expresses the plan and purpose of God in our life. You start to unplug a tree from the ground, no more fruit will be on that tree anymore. And so we are meant to take root downward and to bear fruit upward.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, now this is a pretty famous passage of scripture that Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. Now, if you listen to the part that he quoted before that, what he does is he stands up in the synagogue and he began to say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." But it continues on in Isaiah to say this: "To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness." Listen, the planting of who?
The Lord.
Not of themselves, but of the Lord. The planting of the Lord. Listen, why was God wanting us to be planted like trees of righteousness? So that he can be glorified. Do you know that without being planted and without taking root, you cannot possibly glorify God? It is impossible. Why? Because we need fruit to be able to glorify God. And without a root, there is no fruit. God needs us to be planted like trees of righteousness, the planting of his doing, so that we can be able to glorify him in our life. Not just with our life, but in our lifestyle as well. Can you say amen,
amen
to that? Jesus has a great desire for you to be planted of the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you one last passage of scripture. It's found in Mark chapter 14 through 17. Mark 4, 14 through 17. It's the parable of the sower. It's a story that has a meaning. And Jesus is explaining the meaning to this story. He's talking to his disciples and he says this: the sower sows the word. That's what I'm doing today. I'm sowing the word. I'm scattering the seed of the word of God on the ground of your hearts. It says this: and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Say immediately. See, immediately, I mean, not even wait until you get to the parking lot immediately. Right when the seed hits the ground, immediately Satan comes to steal that seed. You could be sitting in here, right now, looking at me, and what you're hearing is wah, 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 wah. But really, I'm sowing the seed of the Word of God. But Satan is coming to steal that seed so that it doesn't germinate in your heart. Do you know you need to have the right conditions for a seed to germinate? Not only do you need to have good soil, but you need to have the right atmospheric, environmental situation for those seeds to grow. People think that it's strange what's going on in California with the wildfires and with the water and the rain and the mudslides, but you know, it has been an ecological thing forever in Southern California. In fact, many of the seeds in that area happen to be in such a way that their seed coat doesn't become permeable to water. In other words, it won't absorb water until it's either hit by smoke or by heat from fire. And when it does that, all of a sudden the seed coat opens up so that water can get in there so that it can begin to grow. And that's why you have fire and then you have rain, because God set it up that way. And it wasn't a problem until people moved in. But once people moved in, then it becomes a problem to have that cycle, because we want everything to be the same. You see, we've got to have the right situation and the right circumstance for the germination of the Word of God. I hope that what you're doing right now is preparing your ground in your heart to receive the Word of God. How do you do that? You mix it with faith. You listen with eagerness and readiness and receptivity of heart. Instead of hearing wah, 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 clear out the noise and start to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. If you don't like my voice, that's okay. Don't listen to my voice. Listen to God's voice.
Amen.
It just happens to sound like me. And I'm sorry for that. You can morph it later on your computer so it sounds like whoever you want it to sound like, Alvin and the Chipmunks or whatever. Thank God I don't sound like that preaching the word. Some people are like, yeah, you sound worse. Don't worry about it. Just listen. Immediately he comes to steal the word that was sown in their hearts. Verse 16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. That's a good thing. Immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have, listen, no roots in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. You know, one of the main things that Pastor Jolie and I always tell people when we go through premarital counseling with them is this, and I don't mean this to anyone that's been through this situation in your life. I just want to say this is what we tell people in our premarital counseling. Nobody gets married expecting to get divorced, but it happens about 50% of the time, whether you're in the church or out of the church, which is not the way that it ought to be, by the way. In the church, we ought to be different. But you see, no one gets married expecting to get divorced, but it happens. Why does it happen? Because we didn't take the right precautions and we didn't set up the right environment for it to not take place. Yep. It's like a salmon who doesn't keep on swimming upstream. The stream is always flowing downhill. Like my father likes to say, no one parks or coasts in neutral uphill. You can't do it. You have to be engaged. You have to be in drive in order to go uphill. And that's exactly what our life is. There is a current that takes us downhill. And yet we have to fight and fight and fight to continue to go uphill. How do we do that? We can't do it without having a root in our life. We've got to be planted so that when things come against us, we don't quit. You know, it's all right for things to come against you. It's all right to be persecuted. It's all right to have hard things happen to you. The main thing is that you don't quit.
Yeah.
The Bible says a righteous man falls down 7 times and yet he gets up again. That's the main thing. Just don't quit. If you don't quit, you will win. I promise you, you will win. Just wear the devil out. That's how you do it. I want to talk to you today about the mighty redwood tree. I'm going to read to you out of an excerpt out of National Geographic magazine. For those of you that have notes, this is a block of text and you can fill in some things. Otherwise, along the way, there's going to be some fill in the blank things, some highlights that you might want to take notation of if you're simply taking notes on your own paper, which we highly encourage as well. I want to read this to you. It says this: the Sequoia redwood trees located in California are some of the biggest trees in the world. The General Sherman, how many of you have ever seen or been to the General Sherman tree? All right, I see those 3 hands. The General Sherman tree, in fact, noted as the largest living single stem tree on earth. Yeah, we've got bigger banyan trees and stuff on Maui or whatever like that, right? But this largest single stem tree on earth. It is, listen to this, 275 feet tall, 25 feet in diameter. That means 25 feet across, not around, but across. 25 feet across and is approximately 2,500 years old. Something that huge must have an incredible root system that goes down deep in order to stand that tall. Not the case at all. The Sequoia redwood trees have a unique root system that is a marvel compared to their mammoth size. Their roots are relatively shallow. There is no taproot to anchor them deep into the earth. The roots actually only go down 6 to 12 feet. And yet these trees rarely fall over. They withstand strong winds, earthquakes, fires, storms, and prolonged flooding. How can something up to 500 tons, reaching over 350 feet in height, and live for many centuries remain standing with roots only going down about 10 feet? How is that possible? The interesting thing about the redwood tree is that their root system extends out up to 100 feet in diameter. It is intertwined with the other redwood trees, literally holding each other up. The trees grow very close together and are dependent, listen to that, they are dependent on each other for nutrients as well. Only redwoods have the strength and the ability to support other redwoods. Isn't that interesting? 350 feet tall and you've got roots only 6 to 12 feet deep. That's not the way that math works. If you look at the foundations of skyscrapers and everything, they go way down deep into the earth. They drive these pilings way down deep in there. But you see, the redwood doesn't stand alone. It stands intertwined with the other trees that are around it. Not in its trunks, but simply the things that you cannot see under the surface in the ground. I want to ask you a rhetorical question. That means a question that you don't answer out loud. Let me ask you this question. How many years do you think of investment and of outward intertwining, entangling growth do you think that it takes for those trees to become a part of that life-giving community? How long does it take to grow outward, to intertwine, to entangle, to get so meshed in with every other tree around it within a 100-foot radius that it cannot be separated out by storm, by wind, by fire, by flooding, by earthquake? None of that stuff matters. It's in there like swimwear. It's stuck. How long do you think that it took? A long time. You know, sometimes we think that things ought to happen automatically. Many times we don't even like to take the long road when it comes to cooking. So we get a microwave TV dinner. You know, you could get the best steak in the world. I mean, I don't know what the best steak in the world would be. Maybe a Kobe tomahawk ribeye or something like that. I mean, you could get one of those things. Sorry if you're hungry, but you could get one of those things. You'll lose your appetite in just a moment. You take that, you shove it into the microwave, nuke that bad boy on high for about 5 minutes, and it might be cooked, but you are not going to want to eat that thing. You might as well chew on my shoe. You could take the best piece of meat in the world and you could ruin it if you don't have the patience to do it right. It takes patience. It takes longevity. It takes commitment. It takes being intentional to intertwine and to entangle our lives with the people around us. Listen, there is an exchange that takes place between the roots of various trees, and the relationship is what is called symbiotic. That relationship means that you're not only giving, it's not just a one-way street. You give and you receive. Sometimes you need and so you take. Sometimes you have more than enough and so you give. In fact, I believe that the book of Acts shows us what a symbiotic church looks like, where there were people that had lots and they gave so that they had just enough. Amen. There were people that didn't have enough, but when people did have more than enough, when they gave, everyone had all that they needed, and no one was in lack. You know, I'm not just talking about finances, because I know we can so quickly shift our mind and our focus to finances. But when our emotions are running low and we need an emotional input from the people around us, I'm telling you that there are people that can invest in us because they've got more than enough. Go talk to somebody that just came back from vacation. They've got more than enough emotional support to help you out. Amen. Sometimes you've been drained and you've been tired. Maybe what you need is you need somebody around you that's just been filled up so that they can help to top you off. What good does it do us to have our emotional systems where someone is on a real high and somebody else wants to take their own life? What good is that? When really we need to have a symbiotic relationship and say, hey, I'm strong enough, I can help you. I'm coming alongside you to help. In fact, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit of the living God, the paraclete, the one called us alongside to help. If the Holy Spirit's working in you, then he's calling you alongside someone else to help. Maybe you don't have anything to be able to help. Thank God for symbiotic relationships where you can receive what it is that you need. Do you know that these redwood trees create their own ecosystem all around inside of the trunks? They grow so close that actually it increases the relative humidity right in that area. They create a whole ecosystem right in between the trunks of the trees. They create a watershed, a way that water is held onto in the soil. Do you know that without enough foliage, that all the water would just either get evaporated or it would just run off? But really, they create a watershed. In the realm of the Spirit of God, the Bible talks about the Spirit like rain. It talks about it like water. It talks about it like a river. And we need to have a watershed of the Spirit of God in between us as members of the body of Christ. We need that, because otherwise we're either just going to get flooded out or we're going to lose all of our moisture. And I'll tell you, it's not good when you start losing your moisture in the realm of the Spirit of God. You know, an interesting fact that's, by the way, not in your notes, is that where do roots grow primarily? In the dirt. You know that Adam's name means man of dirt? Interesting. You know how I know that you're a man of dirt, woman of dirt? Try scrubbing yourself with a washcloth, a white one, at night. I don't care what color you are, you're gonna come out brown. You're dirt, from dust to dust. And do you know that the roots that we need to develop need to go into the dirt and into the ground of other people's lives? That's why God made us out of dirt, so that roots can grow there. Other people's roots can grow there. Your roots can grow in other people. That's why God created us to be that way. You know, a lot of modern Christians believe that all they need is Jesus. All I need is Jesus. They take that scripture out of context. I have no need that any man teach me, but the Holy Spirit will teach me. But you know what? That's out of context. totally out of context. It does not fit within the Bible context. It certainly does not fit within the New Testament context. We've got to read our Bibles. Many Christians believe, especially modern Christians, believe that they only need Jesus. But the Bible doesn't actually support that feeling. I want to say that it's a feeling. It's not the truth. It's a feeling. But how many of you know that sometimes you feel something that ain't right? You feel something that is wrong, right? I mean, if you've ever burned yourself on a pan or something like that, the first sensation many times that people feel is not heat. It's actually almost like ice cold. But you're burning. It's a lying feeling. You've got that lying feeling. Just kidding. It's the wrong song. We can have this feeling that it's supposed to be this way or it's supposed to be that way, but it's not necessarily the truth. We got to look to what the truth is. Let's take a look real quick at what the Bible says as imagery of what Christians are supposed to be. Check this out. Number one, the Bible says that we are supposed to be specific members of the body. One of your cells can't just hop off your body and decide, I'm going to go it all on my own. I'm just going to do this by myself. Your cells can't do that. You are meant to be a specific member in the body, not just a member out on your own. Well, I feel Jesus just as much in the ocean as I do in church. Well, you're going to the wrong church. Or maybe you're not paying attention in church and you're surfing the internet. It's important that we find out that there is a connectivity that comes in the body of Christ. By the way, all of these things have scripture references. You can look them up on your own time. The Bible says that we are living stones in a spiritual house. You ever have a house made out of one brick? You can't have a house made out of one brick. I mean, we've got a home inspector right here. Ever see a house made out of one brick? If so, it's condemned. That house is not going to make it. Needs major repair. You're not meant to be out on your own as a single individual. Check this out. You are part of the end time harvest. Part of the end harvest. You don't just go and gather one piece of wheat. It's a harvest. God is bringing in a harvest, and you are a part of that harvest. You are not only the individual piece of the harvest. Number four, growing and working joints in the body. The Bible says that every joint supplies the need. That means that there are more than one joint, because otherwise he would say, and the joint supplies the need. But there are many joints, and they all supply something vital and integral to the growth of the body of Christ. We are joints, growing and working joints in the body. And number five, we are part of the family of God. The Bible says that you are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. That means you are part of his family and you are a brother or a sister with Jesus Christ himself. That means that you don't have your own DNA. You don't stand alone out in a crowd. You are part of God's family. I want to just say in no uncertain terms that we as quote-unquote maybe postmodern Christians need to get over being alone. We need to get over ourselves. We need to get over our individualistic ideas. We need to get over our own desires and our own thing, that it's like if somebody else doesn't agree with us, well, we're splitting. That's not how the Bible says to do it. The Bible says, as long as you agree, walk together. Make an appointment. Walk together as far as you are in agreement. And you know, even if all you agree on is that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, that's enough to walk together. Maybe you disagree on what's going to happen in eschatology, the end time study of the Bible. Maybe you're reading up on Daniel and you're reading up on Revelation and you think that there's post-trib, mid-trib, pre-trib. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, just think about a McRib. I don't care. You can get so caught up in these things that it's like, well, we disagree way down there, so let's not even start walking together. That's not how the body of Christ is meant to be, my friends. The body of Christ is meant to be, let's walk together as far as we are in agreement. And then what do you do after that? Just split off? No. We sit down together on the same side of the table and we say, not who's right, but what's right.
Yeah.
We sit down together and we look at the Word of God and just say, hey, what does God say? Let's do that. Because we can have all of our own ideas, because the Bible says this in Proverbs, that every way of a man he thinks is right. We think our own way is right. And you know what God says? My ways are not your ways. Which means that our ways are wrong, even though we think they're right. Because there were lots of times that I thought I had the right answer in math class, but I was wrong. Because there's only one answer in math class, and it's not my answer. It was the right answer. You see, when we get our own ways and we get stubborn and entrenched and dug in, and it's got to be my way or the highway, well, then the highway it is. But you see, God wants us to be connected. These redwoods can't just pick up their roots and go. They're entwined. They're entangled. They're locked in, and they've invested in that direction. Here's the thing, is that people are at risk of becoming tumbleweed Christians. They're not rooted, they're not connected. Now listen, if you know your biology and all that stuff, you know that not everything is bad about tumbleweeds. There's some good things about tumbleweeds. Tumbleweeds are weeds that grow up from above the surface and they're related to the thistle, but once they become mature and they've got seeds inside of them, they break off and the wind takes them around, and as they spin, they disperse seeds wherever they go. Now that's not a bad thing, that's a great thing when there's maturity. When we're just PO'd and we take off before we're mature with the intention of spreading the seeds of the Word of God, then that's absolutely wrong. That's not the kind of tumbleweed that we ought to be. God wants us to be mature, and God wants us to be sent out if we're going to go around spreading things in that way. That's a good kind of disconnection. But I want to talk about the tumbleweed that just breaks off and just goes around, having no root, just goes anywhere the wind takes it. Sometimes we can feel that's really spiritual. It's the wind of the Spirit. Well, I've smelled some other kinds of winds. It's not always the right spirit. Sometimes it's a foul spirit. And we got to know which way the wind is blowing. The Bible says, don't be tossed around by every wind of doctrine. So it's important that we not just be thrown around wherever we feel like we want to go. When we hear a doctrine that agrees with what we want, like I've heard people spouting off doctrine like, you don't need to tithe. Well, that 10% sounds real good to keep for myself if I'm into that kind of a thing. I want to keep it for myself, so I'm going to pick that doctrine. I'm going to hold on to it because I like that doctrine. I'm going to applaud that one because I like that doctrine. But you know what? What if that doctrine is wrong even though it sounds good? The Bible says that in the end times, people will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, scratch my ear. I got an itch. If you'll just scratch it, I'll go with you. I'll listen to you. I'll do whatever you want to just because it makes me feel good. I'm telling you, that's not the right way to do it. If the Word of God is not offending you in some way, it probably ain't the Word of God. Probably. The Bible says, it's not my word like a hammer that smashes the rock in pieces. Look, if you come to church and you don't feel smashed from time to time, either I ain't preaching right or you're not hearing the right thing. I'm not purposefully trying to smash you. It's just the way that it works. Like Hulk, smash you. Hulk, smash. That's the way that the Word of God works. But you know what's good? Is that it breaks off all of the sharp edges. It breaks off all of the hard stuff. It breaks off all the stuff so that we can actually be like a smooth river rock that's like wonderful to hold on to. None of that was in my notes, so don't look for it. It's important to not be a tumbleweed Christian. We've got to be connected. Now, I'm going to get like real practical, which means personal, for just a moment. And if I'm not talking to you unless I'm talking to you. If I'm talking to you, then I'm talking to you. But it's not because I know you, it's just because God's talking to you. So would you please receive it? This is no condemnation. The Bible doesn't give us, God doesn't give us any kind of condemnation, but he sure does urge us on. He sure does give us a swift kick sometimes. And I hope that you'll receive it that way. I'm not trying to point anybody out. I'm just simply saying what God told me to say, so I need to be obedient, otherwise I'm going to be in trouble. So I'm not talking to you unless I'm talking to you. You got it? All right, check this. Some people don't get planted because they're going to move real soon. Now, I've never been in the military, and I'm not picking on military people because I don't know what it's like. But I will tell you this, that I know that every 3 years you got to pick up and you got to move. And that's got to be hard in some way. But I want to tell you this, that God has a better plan for you than to be a tumbleweed. God has a better plan than for you to keep everybody at arm's distance. And I know that so many of the military folks in our church, they don't do that. They plug in and they get connected. And I know that it's just got to be hard sometimes when your connections have to go further. But isn't that the great news about the Redwood? That his connections are not all just right here, but his connections go out 100 feet. I'm telling you right now that we've got people that have come to this church throughout the years, and we're still friends with them all over the world.
Yep.
Why? Because they're family.
Yeah.
That's why. Because they're connected to us. That's why. Because the relationship that we have with them is symbiotic. That's why.
Yeah.
Because they didn't just break off and start going off in their own direction. That's why when maybe you don't show up for a Sunday or whatever, we come after you. We don't show up maybe, but we text you like, hey, you all right? You in the hospital? Are you dead? And if we don't get a response, we're going to come look for you to raise you from the dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're important. You matter. You're a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And if God planted you here, he planted you for connection. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Some people don't get planted because they're going to move real soon. But listen. It is a symbiotic relationship for growth. It's not all about you.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes, like that prophetic word that we had in worship, sometimes we just get so self-centered that it's all about me. What about me? What about me? Because I'm the most important. WIIFM is the radio station that we're tuned into. What's in it for me? But listen, I want to give you another perspective. Other people need your roots.
Yeah.
Other people, it ain't about you. Other people need your roots.
Yeah,
well, what if they're not getting rooted to me? Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. You put your roots out. Because if you don't put your roots out, guess who's going to die? Not them. It's important that we realize that the relationship is symbiotic. We've got to put it out there. Now I'm going to get real nitty-gritty for just a moment. Some people never grow roots because they want their way more than they want to be connected. I'm just going to toss that one out there for a moment. I want my way more than I want to be connected. You know, I'm going to say that in a marriage relationship, it can very much become this way. I want to do what I want to do more than I want to be connected. So guess what? We start doing this. We start living two different lives. You go do what you want to do, and I'll do what I want to do. And guess where your tracks meet? Nowhere. When you have a divergent chorus, you're never going to come back together. You see, we've got to plot a chorus of interception. We've got to plot a chorus that says, I'm more interested in connecting with you than I am about doing my own thing. You know, I really don't like shopping that much. I like buying. You know what I'm saying? I'm not in it for the hunt. I'm in it for the kill. I'm not in it to go window shopping. That does nothing for me. But you know what? I will window shop all day long with my wife if that's what she wants to do. Because that's free. And there are many, many times where I do that. You know why? Because I want connectedness and I want fellowship and I want relationship more than I want to do my own thing.
Amen.
Would I rather go shoot guns? Heck yeah! I'm a dude! I don't want to go shopping. I want to shoot guns. Maybe it's a Hallmark movie. Sorry, guys. Maybe it's a Hallmark movie that you've seen for the last 17 years in a row. The same one that just makes you want to vomit every time you think about it. So syrupy sweet that it's disgusting. Do you want your way or do you want to be connected?
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I hate basketball. Sorry, Dre. I really hate basketball because I suck at basketball. But through the years, you're right, right? I mean, I'm telling you, it is a sign and a wonder when I start playing basketball. You've never seen anybody be able to hit the rim so many times without the ball going in. You try doing it. It ain't that easy. I hate basketball. But you know what? Through the years, I've played more games of basketball than I care to count. Why? Because not because I like basketball, but I like the people playing basketball. Not in general, just the people that have invited me to play basketball. I go to things, I stay up later than I want to. I go to hospitals that I never want to, I never even want to be in. I get around sick nastiness of all kinds. Why? Because I want connectedness more than I want my own way. You know, when I pray for people that got some kind of skin disease, I don't hurry up and pull out the hand sanitizer and squeeze it out there. All right, next. I don't do that. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. Because the blood of Jesus is more important.
Amen.
The life that's in front of me is more important than my own way. Can I just say this, like, kind of a little bit inflamed with the Holy Spirit right now. Can I just say it this way? Get over yourself.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to myself too. Get over yourself. You know how many times there are things that I don't want to do that I do? Why? Because I want connectedness more than I want my own way. I'm not superior in any way. I just learned that it's important to be connected. And if I'm not going to do it, you know, you ever been in that awkward situation where it's like you're not sure whether, like, are you going to reach first? Am I going to reach? You hug her, you shake her, and then you end up in some kind of weird, what's up, man? But you know what? Who cares how it looked so awkward? And I mean, I've hit more ocular bones, giving people kisses on the cheek, because that's how we roll in Hawaii, you know? Bang, yeah, what's up? But now we have a common bruise just on the mirror side. It's important to connect with people. We have to get over ourselves and wanting our own way. Well, if they would do what I want, shut it. If they would do what I, if my wife would only, if my husband would just, do you want to be connected or do you want your way? Because sometimes you can't have both. And if it's always a one-way street, somebody's going to get tired. Sorry, was that too close to home? You guys all right? Remember, hammer, smash the rock pieces. Don't worry, the Lord can put you back together again when we're done. These people that don't have roots because they want their way, they can easily just pick up their roots and go somewhere where they can get their way. And that's all fine and good until you get to that place where it's long enough where you're not going to get your way anymore. Man, we've had people that wanted to be in this church, and I know it's happened all over the place where it's like, as long as I can do my own thing, I'll be a part of your church. I've had people that's never even been a part of our church tell me that if they don't get their way, they're going to quit my church. It's like, you're not part of my church. I don't know if you knew this. But go ahead. And I'm trying not to laugh in the meantime. You know, like, I'm so sorry that you're choosing to leave this church. It's a great church. Lord bless you as you go. people can easily pick up their roots. I mean, without even going there too deep, there's some people that just live in planters their whole life. So they just pick up their planter. I'm going to go over here. And it's the illusion of being planted when you're not. It's the illusion of being planted when you're not. See, the redwood is not planted in that way. They're intertwined. They're entangled. They're symbiotic. There's a giving, a receiving. They're reliant upon one another for strength. See, that illustration of the redwoods is so important because we've got to realize that the storms of life are going to come. And the Bible tells us very clearly in the book of Proverbs, I'll be preaching about it a little bit next week, but woe to him who walks alone. For when you fall, there's no one there to pick you up. I mean, I know it sounds a little bit selfish, but like, I'm going to walk with you, Warren, so when I fall down, you can pick me up. We good? See, woe to the person who walks alone. Maybe you've been challenged and you've been falling down, and maybe you've been falling repeatedly. Maybe you've been hurting yourself in the process. Maybe the storms of life have been coming against you and you've been falling and you've been swayed greatly. Maybe floods have come and fires have come and all these things have come against you and you have been greatly affected. Not a redwood. Because when you get in there and you're locked onto, it doesn't matter what happens with the earthquake when you're locked in. It doesn't matter what happens when there's a drought in your area because there's water elsewhere that can come right to you through a symbiotic relationship. It doesn't matter how strong the wind is because when we're close enough together, the wind can't really get up enough momentum to just knock you over. If you've been falling a lot in your Christianity, maybe it's because you're not connected. You know, you go to a farm like an orchid farm or a palm tree farm or like those little sago palms or whatever. They're all in their little planters. They're all close together, just like a redwood forest. Not really. Because their roots are not entwined. It's not what happens above the surface so much as what happens beneath the surface. Uh-huh. See, you need to be a part of a connect group. You need to be connected with people that are going to be connected to you.
Amen.
You need to have that intertwining, entangling of lives. It's not just ideas. There's so much in our society today about sharing of ideas. Forget ideas. It's about sharing of lives. Husbands, wives, if you don't share your life with your spouse, what are you sharing other than a bed? You've got to share your life, not your ideas. Ideas are like other parts of the body. Everyone's got one. But you see, we've got to share our life and entangle our lives in the lives of others. Lack of connectedness, let me say it this way, lack of connectedness leads to great vulnerability and greater possibility of failure. If you've been experiencing failure after failure after failure, if you've been feeling exposed and vulnerable, let me tell you that maybe the problem is no connectedness. And it happens and it starts with you. We can't just keep our roots close and wait for everyone else's roots to come to us. We've got to begin to send out roots. We've got to begin to send out connectedness. We've got to begin to send out that welcoming thing. The Bible says, if anyone wants friends, show yourself friendly. Uh-huh. Amen? Let me give you one thing, just one thing. I'm going to give you one thing, but I'm going to give you a bonus thing. It's like the bonus French fry in the bottom of the bag. The extra long, super special bonus French fry. But just one thing. If you want one thing, if you're going to do one thing to act upon this message, check this out. You are made for connection. Determined to connect more deeply and meaningfully with other members as connect groups begin. I promise you, if you don't make that determination that you're not gonna. There's just too much going on in our world. There's too much going on in our lives. We're too busy to connect unless we make that our priority. What's more valuable, our way or being connected? Well, for our life and for our survival, I would say that connectivity is the most important thing. Here, let me give you the bonus. bonus material. I want to ask you to take a step of connection this week and actually get outside of yourself and do something, listen, that someone else wants to do. Can you imagine if you just called somebody up and like, hey, what do you want to do? I'm going with you. How hard is that? You know what's really hard? What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Or it's like, I want to do this, I want to do that. Well, they're not in the same place. That makes it really difficult. How about you just surrender your right to have your way and just say, hey, what do you want to do? I'm going with you. Doesn't matter what we do. Do anything. Let's go. I'm going to be with you. I bet you that you can start to create connections. Let me pray for you today. Father, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that the Word of God would saturate, would fill, would overflow, would permeate, would marinate, would cause a change to take place in every one of our hearts. God, that our value system would change from what we want to being connected. God, that we would want connectedness more than we want our own way. Father, that we would want to be connected to you more than we want our own way. Lord, I pray right now that you would just cause us to reach out, and that even if we get slapped or something, as we reach out, to be able to connect, and even if somebody rejects us and says no, reach out anyway. God, I pray that you would give resiliency in hearts, that you would give resiliency in our roots. You said that it was your desire that we would be the planting of the Lord. So, Father, I pray that you would plant us, that you would cause our roots to multiply, to increase, to flourish, to have favor, to grow. And I thank you, God, that as we do that and as we reach out and be intertwined, entangled, and connected with the people around us, that our lives would be filled with every nutrient that we need to grow, that we would be connected and that we would not be thrown over by the earthquakes, by the fires, by the floods, by the winds, by the rain, nothing, that we would be immovable like the redwoods. I thank you for that, God, and I speak a blessing over your people now in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Would you just turn your attention to our screen as we close with this final announcement?